You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
As mentioned, today we're talking to Ronald Nyamukua about his business, that is Ronex Trainings, and he'll be sharing some of the lessons that he has learned along the way of his, of course, entrepreneurial journey, and he's already on the line. Happy, happy, happy New Year, Ronald, and how are you?
Happy New Year to you too, and I'm great.
Ah, fantastic. How's been the crossover to 2024?
More prepared for October. I got time to reflect and do the planning that's required for New Year. So I think that was good for me.
Yeah. Ah, fantastic, fantastic. That's really so. You sound like you're ready then. Mine was just okay. I also got time. Yeah. I deliberately decided as well to just reflect and spend the time reflecting, no traveling, no going anywhere, just at home, you know, and just spend some time reflecting. I suppose what was missing, though, was the planning, because I was deliberately just, reflecting, but then I was like, but okay, let's talk about the planning. So that's one bit that was outstanding as I crossed over. But by God's grace, we are here. And I suppose that's the most important thing. Yeah, we'll be okay. We'll be okay. We'll learn from you guys who are ready for 2024.
Well, apart from debtors who aren't paying, I think okay.
I know, right? So it's always like that. Eh? It's almost like we never learn. Eh?
True. So
yeah,
part of the list.
Part of the game, definitely. We'll certainly be okay. Yeah, thank you so much, man, for taking the time to join us. We really, really appreciate it. Of course, it is the beginning of the year. We've got a quote that we started with here, Ronald, which I'd like to hear your thoughts on it. And this one was coming from Casey, who is the founder of Blogalites. And Casey says, do not focus on numbers. I don't know what you think about that. She says, do not focus on numbers. Focus on doing what you do best. It's about building a community who want to visit your business every day because you create value and offer your expertise to them. Any thoughts on that?
So this brings a lot to mind. On the, it's an important perspective growth. In this, it also emphasizes the idea numbers such as in my context with revenue, the true focus should be on providing expertise and building a loyal community. Right. Let me draw into probably the first part of the quote, right, which advises against getting overly preoccupied with the numbers.
Yes.
Right? Numbers are good, but while the matrix and data are important, Cassie also suggests that the sole measure of success is not just the numbers.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And if we also look at the second part, it highlights the importance of doing what you do best and focusing on providing value. So it's it should be a balance.
Yeah.
Okay. There's a significance in building communities that want to visit your business or work with on a regular basis.
Yeah.
And this community is not driven by marketing tactics only or manipulative strategies or deceptive marketing. But because it's Ronald, it's Tato Maloy, everyone wants to contribute to your well-being. So, yes, there must be a balance of numbers and building communities.
But as a business person, man, I'm sure it's nice to have these you know, nice things about let's keep a you know, I suppose a balance and but at the end of the day, let's be honest there, Ronald, at the end of the day, it's about numbers. When you have to hit the end of the month and you've got salaries to pay, you've got bills to pay, you've got this and that, there's a supplier that wants their money and there's a debtor that hasn't paid you. All these other things sound really, really nice, but isn't Casey just watering down the importance of numbers? Because it's nice to have all the other things, but it's numbers at the end of the day. As they say, numbers don't lie.
Yes, it's important. But let me give you an example.
Yeah.
Right. You get an overwhelmingly large number. Let's say you're selling hamburgers.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And maybe you supply 100 per day. You've got a staff that you supply people.
Yeah.
Maybe you in industry, you just provide 100 burgers and that's it for the day.
Yeah.
And then you get a company that wants 1,200 each week.
Mm.
Okay.
Mm.
Do you have the capacity to supply those?
Mm.
Do you have the resources?
Mm.
Do you have enough the people trained? Do you meet the health standards to be able to prepare so much?
Yeah.
Are you capacitated to do that? If they decide they're going to delay in making a payment by 15, 30 days, are you going to survive?
Mm.
So it's important. Right.
Mm.
Get the rather go back to the client and say, look, I can't give you 1,200, but I can definitely try to give you 300 and allow me to grow.
Yeah.
Help me to grow.
Yeah.
In that process.
Mm.
Right. Without burning yourself. And look, the transparency that comes with just being honest with clients, it takes you far because.
True.
What they want is for you to farm with their money.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. That makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Be honest and all those sort of stuff. All right. Ronex, is it Ronex training? Is the X silent? Because these nowadays, there's lots of silent letters.
Yeah, it's actually. I hear you. Ronex.
Ronex training,
Ronex training.
Ah, fantastic, fantastic. Tell us a little bit about the business and maybe about yourself as well.
Okay, so Ronex is I'm more inclined to call it just Ronex because it's also solutions, IT solutions.
Yes.
We are an all-in-one IT shop, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
your trainings, your software solutions, hardware solutions. So, growing up, I was the typical boy who break apart the remote control and put it all back together, the buttons and all that. I was the one who would be called from my room to fix the DS, you know, or the channel that'd be mixed, you know, signaled.
Yeah.
And I would work on that.
Yeah.
And courtesy of my dad, he then realized, look, this boy is gifted in tech.
Yes.
And I went to do that. I've got a undergraduate degree in information systems, a master's degree in strategy innovation.
Okay, that's really interesting. A master's degree in strategy and innovations as well. So this is what I'm going to do, Ronex, if you don't mind. I'm just going to switch the line because I think the line that we are in right now is just not a good one. But I'm just going to switch the line while you are still holding, if that's fine with you.
That's all right.
Okay, let's try and switch his line because that one is just not coming through quite very nicely. I want us to really have this conversation in its fullest. So hopefully we can then connect with him there. Let's try and see if you can hear me. Can you hear me?
Hello, yes, I
I can hear you.
Ah, fantastic. I think this is a better line. So you're saying you're the guy that used to fix things at home, and when they break, you are there. And your father then realized that this guy has a passion for these IT things, and you then went and studied in that particular field with a master's in innovation and strategy. That's what I had there. I just want to ask you now on these, the interception between IT and strategy. How important is it? Because sometimes we talk about strategy without maybe linking it to something. It's almost like everything is subordinate to strategy.
So my the full name of my master's, it's a Master of Technology in Strategy and Innovation.
Yeah.
And your question is, what's the intersection there,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
All right. So with strategy, it has to be very strategic. Right.
Mm.
You can't just apply strategy, any form of strategy, to anything, right?
Yeah.
It means you need to understand what the industry you're in is all about.
Okay.
Study other environments that are similar, how they're doing it. Then you come back to your environment and contextualize whatever they have implemented wherever they are.
Yeah.
And then say, okay, look, if I'm going to try and do an Uber in Zimbabwe, how is it going to function with the multiple currency system? How do I function? Where is the money? You know, so the strategy and the innovativeness then comes in in your ability to contextualize the knowledge that you've acquired to a specific area.
That makes sense. And I suppose that's what also drives Ronex trainings, isn't it? You said you've got a software solution as well. You do those IT trainings. I caught that correctly.
Yes. So we do software solutions. We provide software solutions. Some of them, for example, we've got ERBs, like it's just a tool to automate your business.
Yeah.
From a recording of suppliers, your database, invoices, all that in one cloud-based solution. We are also on the verge of launching an application that merely takes away the notebook that our grannies, you know, the ladies who sell tomatoes and fruits by the street corners?
Yeah.
They've got a notebook that they write in. We've got something that we are making to replace that, because when they then go to the banks to look for funding, they don't have financial records.
Yes, definitely.
So literally replacing that.
That's interesting.
Saying, look, you've got financial records at the end of the day.
That's very interesting. And just for context, for people who may not know, how big is the market that side, the informal sector? Because it sounds like those are the people that you're targeting.
So it's a generous figure of over 70%. The nation. Informal market constitutes the bigger chunk of our market.
Mm.
And they are the driving force of the market.
Mm.
They also hold the US dollar. They have the money.
They have the money. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Are there other similar companies like like that in your area? And I'm asking because I'm trying to get at what then makes Ronex better.
Oh yes. Yeah. So there are a lot of companies that are in IT as well.
Yeah.
But probably the difference is that I am born and bred. I've been schooled in Zimbabwe.
Yeah.
I have gone through the Zimbabwe education.
Yeah.
I understand the market.
Yeah.
I'm a software developer.
Yeah.
And I am also good at imparting the knowledge into other people.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm a man on the ground.
Mm.
I know the market. I've taken time to sit down with people, and this is why we are creating solutions that work for the person in any part of the country.
Mm.
The difference with most training organizations is that most of them they have the theory-based learning. We are coming from industry and saying, guys, this is what's in the industry, this is what you should know for you to become a software developer, or in Excel, this is what you should know because this is what works in industry.
It's almost like you are ahead of the markets and the trends that are taking place in the industry, particularly in Zimbabwe as well. Did you always want to become an entrepreneur, particularly an IT entrepreneur? I know you fiddled with things and broke and unbroke certain things in the house, but was entrepreneurship a journey that you wanted to take, particularly in IT?
Well, I've always been someone who also buys and sells stuff.
Yeah.
I remember in high school, I was also in Leo's.
Yeah.
We would also go to town, buy samosas, and sell them at break time to other students. I always just believed in bringing small solutions to people and making a dollar or two out of that. Right?
Yeah.
But when it came to an IT entrepreneur, that is something that I developed in university. You know, I started buying laptops from China and providing to other university students because I realized if you're not coming from a standard home where you can buy from an expensive store, then you obviously want a solution because you are a student and off the money that you're getting. You know, so being an IT entrepreneur for me is all about the impact and the contribution I'm making to the community, to the Zim community and Africa. It gives me a sense of fulfillment through the creativity that we have to the creative nature of the work in Zimbabwe and Africa at large. Being an IT entrepreneur also has allowed me the flexibility of a work-life balance. I can work from home. I can work from anywhere. I just need my laptop, internet, and my phone. And, you know, it's given me that flexibility.
Yes.
Right. And, of course, the financial potential that comes with it. It's a growing market. We are preaching a fairly new gospel that is still to be adapted and adopted, but we will be ready when people are ready to accept it. So
that's interesting. And then in the midst of all of that, I mean, like you said, it's something that you picked up in university and you've been running with it, and the potential you know, for money and I suppose making money. Would you say that that's what drives you as an entrepreneur, or what is it that is behind Ronald that makes you wake up every single morning and say, it's hard being an entrepreneur, but I still will continue?
Okay, so part of what drives me is the opportunity to grow professionally, and contribute my knowledge and my abilities to make a meaningful impact.
Yeah,
you know, there are a lot of intrinsic factors. It contributes to my personal growth.
Okay,
right. I'm making a positive impact. Right. I'm not just someone who's bringing temporary solutions, because everything is going virtual. So I'm contributing to a really key element of the communities, even the government. I'm in line with the government mandate, right? Even the SDGs, zero poverty, education for all, and being able to bring technology to everyone is in line with that, right? And my love for what I do.
Yeah.
Right. And then, of course, there are also extrinsic factors that drive me, you know, such as recognition, opportunities for advancement, right?
Yeah.
The team I work with also drives me, you know. I've also won a lot of awards in the past, and each year you know that there's going to be something, someone's going to recognize you.
Yeah.
It also drives me, you know, to know that someone out there actually appreciates and recognizes what I'm doing. Yes.
That's an amazing thing there. To be recognized is really great. One of the things that entrepreneurs, you know, complain about is not only access to markets, which I think is a valid, you know, point that most entrepreneurs raise when you talk to them and kind of understand where they come from. But there's the aspect of raising capital for starting the business as well, which is a pandemic on its own. How did you find it?
Okay, so this is why. So one of the major reasons I went into service industry,
yes,
right, is because of the raising funds aspect. Right?
I see.
I had to perfect the skill.
Yes,
of developing solutions. I had to develop the ability to impart the knowledge into people. Right. I once dealt with laptops and stocks and all that. And you find someone is giving you money today and they want a laptop today, but it takes three weeks to get a laptop from China.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Sometimes it delays back in the day. So to avoid all those, the challenges that come with the stock holding and risk of damages and all that, I decided, look, I will go into the service industry. However, I've had help from friends and family.
Okay.
And I've also forged strategic partnerships.
Yeah.
Like you find with trainings, I've worked with universities.
Yeah.
You go into universities and they give you access to
their
students.
Yeah.
Right. Ordinarily, I would need a really big marketing budget.
Yeah.
To reach out to as many people. So I went back to both the universities I went to for my master's and my undergrad. And those partnerships have been a form of raising funding to run the business.
That's amazing. And who's your first customer? Do you remember them? What was happening? How was the engagement and interaction at the time?
First customer. I'm trying to remember.
Yes.
It was actually a family.
Okay.
It was a family. This family, the mom has got almost, I think, 6 children.
Okay.
So back then we were doing just coding lessons.
Yes. Yes.
During the holidays, and this was mid of COVID, and people didn't have anything to do. So the parent would always be looking for me to entertain the kids, basically.
Yeah.
You know, because you find if kids are not busy, they are finishing the juice in the house. They're
Definitely.
They're breaking stuff.
Yep.
You know, they're active, but it's not productive.
Yeah.
Right. So we would work with the kids three hours of the morning, and we then give them work to do. So by the time parents come back from work, kids are asleep, they've had their
supper. They're tired.
And they're tired. So the important factor was that they're tired. And it grew. We obviously sort of moved out of the space of training kids. We still do it, but we now do a more corporate because of the regulations that come with working with kids.
Yes.
Right. But we then got into corporate trainings and also systems. So that was my first client.
Yeah, fantastic. And how have you grown the market in terms of your own customer base from there? And with social media, I suppose, being an unconventional way to get to market, is that how you've also taken advantage to build more customer base?
So the referral business, people underestimate referrals. People underestimate the art of doing a good job on one customer, and customers, we call it gossip marketing, right? Everyone wants to brag about the service they got from their service provider. You know, this is what has happened. We've built a customer base through referrals. We have tried to offer exceptional customer service. There's obviously that one parent or the one client who exaggerates complaints.
Yeah.
we try to accommodate them as well. You know, we have utilized social media, as you mentioned, social media, Facebook, LinkedIn, your Twitter, and you still find people who will be like, look, I found you through Twitter.
Yeah,
we found you through Instagram.
Yeah.
Right. And this has helped us to build a stable online presence, you know. We've also done our market research and analysis and to see, look, this is what we need to do. Like now the solutions that we're now offering has been a result of actually going into market and talking to the people who are selling and their problems. So these people, they then come back to you and convert into clients. Also developing a value proposition.
Yes.
No matter what you can do. I always tell the story of vegetarians and T-bone. Like you can, no matter what you do, you can't sell T-bone to a vegetarian.
Yeah.
So they're not, they're not your clients. No matter how spicy, no matter how beefy the T-bone is. So it's important to know your clients. Your clients. Don't waste time on people who want to buy.
Yeah, you can do so many patties and tofus, but people who eat meat are like, nope, we are not interested in this one. We are fine with our meat. So yeah, know your value proposition, a very important one. You sound like you are in some event or whatever. When do you get to sleep on a typical day? What time do you wake up? What does your day look like?
All right, so apologies for the background.
No construction problem.
Happening.
Yes.
Yeah, so... Well, I mean, I start my day around 5:30. I do my devotion. And then I write down the list, like to-do list today.
Yeah.
Right. So I would have done like a weekly plan.
Yeah.
Right. And then I break those into days. So if I didn't do something yesterday, it's obviously on the list today.
Yeah.
Then I don't know why, but I sometimes skip breakfast. I then have maybe my first meal of the day around 12.
Yeah.
But I mean, after I do my to-do list, I obviously bath, I get to work. I am talking to clients or I'm reaching out to clients or I get down to the actual work that needs to be done.
Yeah.
Right. So if it's a system, maybe we're delegating tasks between myself and the rest of the team members. If it's a training that needs to be done, then I'm making sure that whoever is supposed to go there is doing it. At the end of the day, after work, if I am not too tired, I just go and lift some weights, have my supper, take a bath, and I sometimes read a book, a few chapters or a few pages.
Yeah.
Or I watch something.
Yes.
I watch something until I fall asleep.
This is around now? 11, 12?
Yes.
Ah.
Yeah, well, normally my day ends around midnight.
Midnight. Yes, that makes sense. Well, you've got a listener here who has given you a bit of a challenge on your analogy, saying that she has been, of course, a vegetarian for 10 days and she would give anything for a bit of a T-bone right now. So there you go. Your value proposition there out of the window.
Maybe so, one of these days we'll open a butcher.
that's definitely something to look at. I'm wondering though, you know, in all seriousness, just look at this comment as if we can build a bit of a hybrid, maybe that could be our value proposition right there. A bit of a hybrid between vegetarians and meat eaters, you know, create some sort of meatless meat, something in between, Jay, that can just, you know, satisfy each part of the spectrum, and we can then, you know, have some. Maybe that's something to be innovated that we can think about. Tell me something now. Having started this business, you spoke about during COVID, you know, families and all those sort of stuff. How has your family been affected by your entrepreneurial work? I'm sure there's times when you can't even make it to certain family occasions.
Well, yes, definitely it's had an impact on family. Mm. I remember my dad reminding me that I haven't been home in like 6 months, and he's only 3 hours away.
Ooh.
He stays in Kwekwe, that's about 213 kilometers.
Yeah.
At that time, I was juggling between my master's and running the business.
It can be very difficult.
Yes, when I'm not trying to read, I am also trying to catch up with work.
Yes.
And that has had an impact on that, on the family. Time commitment as well.
Mm.
You know, it consumes a huge amount of your work. Yeah. I would work on Sunday, you know. But now I'm slowly backing off my Sundays, except when I need to do strategy sessions or the innovative work on Sundays. Yeah, but Sunday was a full working day.
Can I challenge you a bit?
Yeah.
PhD?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Ah, look at that. That's even more time away from family then.
The articles are actually the preparation for PhD, but maybe in 4 years from now.
Maybe
in 4 years, writing articles and all that. That's the preparation for PhD.
Preparation for PhD. That's a hectic one, I'm told. It's very, very hectic. So one has to be ready for it. IT constantly changes, I'm told. And we were talking to Justice just yesterday about certain things that are taking place in the IT space. One that I really liked, and I'm just digressing a little bit here, but one that I really liked was a mirror that can talk to me, because I'm kind of one of those, you know, when you wake up in the morning, a mirror will be there to say, "Hi, Tapelo, you know, how are you feeling today?"
Oh, wow.
And apparently it can read my mood. If I look a little bit somber and sad, it would find ways to talk to me to cheer me up. So I'm like, you know, technology is taking a different direction. It's a scary direction. But in your space, as someone who's also in the IT space, how do you constantly reinvent your own next trainings and your offerings, market-related stuff? Do you generate ideas, and how do you do that?
Yeah, so it's very important to keep abreast of what's happening worldwide.
Yeah.
Looking at some of our market leaders, like your Google, your Amazon, those guys always tell you the direction in which things are going. However, we sometimes are behind.
Yeah.
In terms of what we can offer and what we can actually offer. Like, I mean, you talk of the mirror that speaks to you.
Yeah.
It obviously needs constant electricity.
Yeah.
It needs to be connected to the internet for it to be able to understand the patterns of the human body, you know.
Yeah.
And we are still dealing with infrastructural issues in terms of the IT space. So I definitely have an open door policy. We encourage open communication amongst employees.
Yeah.
Everyone has a voice. Mm. Everyone has a voice. We embrace diversity and inclusivity at the workplace.
Mm.
Everyone is free to work from wherever they want.
Because
it's a software company.
Nice.
Right. I've got people in different towns, right?
Nice.
Yes, we come to the office here and there. I am mostly in the office, but you've got there's this young man who does my marketing, right?
Yeah.
He will send you messages between 3 a.m. and 5 a.m.
Sure.
And I believe that's his most productive time. But if you tell him to come and spend the day at work,
frustrating.
I'm not too sure if I will get the kind of work he's producing at the moment.
Exactly.
You know.
Exactly.
So we are not an 8-to-5 office.
Yeah.
We are a 24-hour office.
And
I do respect the boundaries that come with that.
Yeah.
And we also provide access to resources. We buy courses for development of the staff, you know. So in all that, it's a safe space and people speak, especially with the marketing guy. I like to speak about him a lot because When he started a couple of months ago, I would have to make 7 edits on his flyers, right? Mm. But now it's probably 1 or 2. And he's just coming to me and saying, this is what I'm posting this week. And he justifies why he's doing that.
Yes.
So he's got control of what he's doing, and I oversee it, but it's his brain at work. So I believe that's how we generate new ideas.
Yes. Ah, fantastic. Yeah. It should be part of their KPIs, every one of them. I know there's a bank where every employee is given a KPI to innovate in their own space, you know. Even if you're a cleaner, innovate. What do you think we can do to clean better? If you're an administrator, what do you think you can administrate better this year? If you are a software person, what can you software better this year? And I think as much as it places a lot of pressure on people, but it does force them to start thinking innovatively. And when they think innovatively, they become better. And guess what? They are one of the biggest banks just here in South Africa. And I know in the Southern African space as well. And they've been getting accolades of being very innovative as a bank, as opposed to that other bank that is very archaic. Till this very day, they are so old, and everyone is like, "Yo, why is this bank even there?" But anyways, that ability to constantly innovate is something that helps this particular bank to stay ahead and abreast of what's happening on the markets. So I really, really love that one as well. You sound like a good boss. I must come and work for you. If people can have an open door policy like that, I can work from everywhere. Hi, then you must definitely give me a job with that. Entrepreneurship. What is the one challenge so far that you think, maybe with the benefit of hindsight, you look back at it and you're like, yo, this was really a challenge.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, looking back, if I could perfect the effective communication.
Yeah.
This is something that I've had to learn in the past. Sometimes I would assume that I've shared enough information or we're on the same level of understanding, which led to misalignment and inefficiencies. Ah, man, the it's so draining when you then realize 3 weeks down the line and we are not on the same
level. Yes, you know? Yes.
So definitely I would prioritize clear, open communication, ensuring that everyone is on the same page and understands the expectation. Proactive planning as well.
Yeah.
I realize the value of thorough planning to anticipate potential challenges, you know, and to mitigate risk. You're caught unaware, but this is something that could have been avoided if we had planned, you know.
Yeah.
And also, if looking back, I would emphasize the importance of a work-life balance.
Balance, yeah.
Yes, even not just on the time aspect, on the finances as well. You know, as we grow as small entrepreneurs, the money that should be buying new stock is the one that you're using to pay your personal rent.
Definitely,
you're not paying yourself. You know, you're not rewarding yourself. It's important to have a good work-life balance for you to enjoy the journey.
And it is a journey, this entrepreneurship thing. And unless you enjoy it, it can be a little bit overwhelming.
Yeah.
If you were to start all over again, what would you do differently?
I would put certain procedures on track.
Okay.
It also talks to the clear communication. Mm. The contract is clear communication. Mm. Of the job description.
Mm.
A contract procedure is proactive planning, right?
Mm.
Understand what should happen when this happens. Understand how we install the system. Understand how we deal with the client.
So
if all that is available, is it in my absence, in the absence of another guy, someone else can easily take over and say, okay, let's do it, to avoid backlog. Yeah, so I'll definitely put in place contracts, procedures, policies, and all that.
Yeah, those are really important. Those are really important. You know, the importance of processes and systems and procedures is underscored when you're in a crisis. That's when you realize that, yeah, actually, if we had followed a process of sort, I would have really saw the risk before it even happened. But if you don't have those processes in place, you can't preempt and find mitigating strategies for, you know, the risks that are embedded in the execution of whatever process, program, whatever that you need to do there. Where are we going 10 years from now? And in my prophetic eye, I can see Ronex 10 years from now still like operating, but not only that, globally.
Absolutely, I will see, Papa.
Yeah, sure. It's coming.
That definitely feeds into the long term.
Yes.
Obviously, the short term is to launch more products.
Okay.
We want to enhance our operational efficiency, definitely.
Yeah.
We want to increase the brand awareness, courtesy of platforms like this.
Yeah.
We are always happy to come and talk and
we appreciate
the gospel of technology.
Yeah.
You know, long term, to go global.
Okay.
And, you know, we want to export, we want to be exporters of tech.
Okay.
To the rest of the world.
Yeah.
The conventional is to import.
Yeah.
Right? But we want to create solutions from Africa, from Zimbabwe, from anywhere in Africa, and push.
Yeah.
You know, want to achieve the sustainable growth.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times I've seen businesses that grow so big and they crumble because the base is not stable, you know.
Mm.
So that's consistent and sustainable revenue and the profitability growth over an extended period while maintaining that financial stability.
Sure, you know? Sure. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Over an extended period.
Long term, we want to develop a culture of innovation and also strategic partnerships with different organizations across the world.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Create another, I suppose, China in Zimbabwe, because as you mentioned, a lot of countries here in Africa, when they're looking for technological products, we always go to China. So just, you know, flip the script a little bit and let us be the China now, where we export technological products and innovations to the rest of the world. Let's end it on a much lighter note. One satisfying moment in business so far that you're like, ha. Is it when you penned that contract and you're like, yes, these are the number of zeros that I want to see?
it's a bit of both.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's a bit of both. And you know, to say the is it a proverb or just to say a prophet has no
honor in his hometown?
No honor.
Yeah.
Yeah. I became the prophet. That has honor in my own community.
Yeah.
I'm getting business from the people that saw me grow.
Sure.
You know, normally people are there to support you.
Yes.
And, yeah, but I'm seeing people starting to take me serious in the community that I am. I mean, I've always been someone who's intentional.
Yeah.
But it's very hard. Some people, it only takes them to move away from where they've been for their fathers and mothers to actually respect you in your professional capacity. I'm very grateful for that.
Mm.
Where I can sit down and have a professional conversation with church members, with family, and they can support the business for what it's worth.
Mm.
You know?
Mm.
Yeah.
Sure.
Of course, yes, we've got the numbers as well.
Yeah.
Those have been... when we first did, it wasn't the first, but it was one of the few contracts that we did with a really big corporate in the industry. It didn't take time, you know. It was it was actually a screenshot from another WhatsApp group where someone was like, okay, these guys are looking for this.
Yeah.
I reached out, we gave them a solution,
and
we did this, you know.
And there you go. Bob's your uncle.
Yeah. Yeah, that's just even.
That was amazing. Yeah. That's amazing. Yeah. There's a young person that also wants to get into the space. I mean, you've got about 30 seconds or so. There's a young person that wants to get into the space as well. What would be your message to them, aspiring entrepreneurs, and as you maybe share with them your thought around that and what they can do, but also how can people get in touch with Ronex Training?
Okay, so you can get in touch through my socials. The company is Ronex Training across IG, Facebook, Twitter, and even through email, right? But the quickest is the social media.
Yeah.
Or even on our WhatsApp. If you go to our pages, my WhatsApp direct is there.
Yeah.
Right. And to speak to the young person, I mean, technology is constantly evolving, shaping the world we live in and offering endless possibilities of innovation. Just remember that it's not just about gadgets and algorithms, but it's the impact it has on the people's lives and the transformative power it holds. So embrace the opportunity that it presents, but also remain mindful of the ethical considerations and the responsibility we have to use technology for the betterment of society. That's what I could probably say to the young person.
We need to use the technology for the betterment of society. Ronald, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it. And you and I know we have a lot to discuss this year. And we just want to say we really appreciate you for your time even on the previous year. But thank you so much for taking the time to join us this evening.
Thank you so much for having me. I look forward to more beats.
Definitely. All the best and God bless.
You too. Goodbye.
Cheers. Bye.
You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.